The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine in the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher place." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they might invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The fable was created about a man called Horval Sash. Horval had a very humble job in a certain company, a job in the lowest basement of the building. He was a mailroom clerk, and as mailroom clerk, there was no one lower than he was. One day, he came across a bug that was scurrying across the floor. Horval might have been had the lowest job in the company, but he was bigger than that bug. So he raised his foot to flatten the helpless creature. But this story is a fable. So the bug spoke up. "Spare me," it said, "and I will grant you your fondest wish." Horval spared the bug and was rewarded a wish. "I wish to be promoted to the second floor," he said. And within seconds, he was there. But wait, Horval heard footprints over his head on the ceiling, the floor above. A higher level must have meant there was going to be higher wages. So again, he was promoted. His ambition didn't stop there. He wished for still more promotions. He went to the 10th floor, the 20th, the 50th, the 70th. He was still not satisfied. And one day he was reclining at the indoor pool on the 96th floor when he discovered that there was still another staircase going up. So he went up the staircase, and he was relieved to find that he was now on the roof. At last, he was now the highest. No one could be greater. And as he turned around to take the stairs back down, there was a little boy sitting at the edge of the building. And he said, "What are you doing?" And the little boy said, "I'm praying." "To whom?" he asked the little boy. And the little boy said, "To God." Panic gripped Horval. Was there another floor above him? He couldn't see it. He couldn't hear any footprints or shuffling. Just clouds. Do you mean to say that there's somebody above me, somebody greater than I am? Yes, said the little boy. The bug was promptly summoned. Make me God. Make me the greatest. Put me in the type of position that only God would hold if he was here on earth. The next day, Horvel began work as a mailroom clerk in the basement. There's something of that little fable going on in today's gospel. The first verse of today's gospel sets the scene. Jesus is having a meal with one of the leading Pharisees. But he noticed a humiliating scramble for the best seats. And he comments on what he sees. We're familiar with the story. The guest that arrives early to the feast, if he takes the first and best seat, there's always the risk that someone greater than him might come and he be asked to take a less special place. Jesus recommends to his listeners to take the lowest place. In that event, the only risk is that you be asked to move higher. And since it is the host's party, he should be the one to decide the places. The Pharisees, despite their ability to keep the law of Moses, were often seen as boastful, arrogant, and rude. The setting is that they're about to correct Jesus. They're about to straighten him up because he was seen healing somebody on the Sabbath. But it's very important if you go to point the finger at somebody to recognize when you point your finger, there are three other fingers pointing back at you. And that's what happens to the scribes and Pharisees as Jesus bursts their preconceptions. He tells them their self-importance is not justified and that they are going nowhere. Some years ago, in the Chicago Tribune, there's an article about a fire that took place at the Glenview Naval Air Station. And the photo I'm referring to is still on, can be found in the on the website, on the web, if you need to find it, if you don't fall asleep during the rest of the homily and remember it. At this fire, there was over $10 million of damage done to the building. And the picture of the disaster featured a cast iron circular stairway, and that picture exists still. The rest of the building was completely and absolutely burnt away, and because the stairs was made of cast iron, it remained on its own, and it was nicknamed the Stairs to Nowhere. That's what Jesus is saying today about those who exalt themselves. They may find themselves on a staircase going nowhere. Exalting yourselves keeps you out of the kingdom of heaven. Scheming for places of honor can reveal a fatal flaw in a character. Elbowing your way past others can seem to be a sinful ambition. Self-seeking, that's what the Pharisees were into, and Jesus calls it out today. What about Jim? He was the governor's most trusted assistant. He worked in the governor's office, but sadly he died one night in his sleep. The governor had depended on Jim for advice on every subject, from upcoming pending bills to wardrobe decisions. Jim had been his closest friend. So it was understandable that the governor didn't take kindly the droves of ambitious people that approached him to see if Jim's job as advisor was open. They didn't have the decency to wait until the man was buried, the governor thought to himself. At the funeral, one eager beaver made his way to the governor's side. Governor, he said "Is there any chance that I could take Jim's place?" "Certainly," replied the governor. "But you'd want to hurry because the undertakers haven't put the lid on the casket yet." Today, Jesus addresses his host, where he promotes a more radical style of invitation, learning humility not so much by playing musical chairs at banquets, but by relating with the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. The guest list for Jesus' banquet is different. God is the host whose delight is to feast with those who are usually overlooked in the scramble for honor. So the guest list includes the old lady with the moth-eaten fur coat who carries her kingdom in a paper bag, or the legion of crippled who hobble through South Pasadena with all their worldly possessions on a cart. The blind who have to feel their way for the warmth of a fire they cannot see. The lonely who are invited nowhere. These are the ones who will be led to the seats of honor in the kingdom. The little people who cannot return the invitations, but yet are hungry for the food and company at table. Jesus has a creed that hugs these people into importance. In the upside-down world of the gospel, there is wisdom of reversal. Behind what appears to be ugliness, there is beauty. Behind what appears to be foolishness, there is wisdom. Behind the faces of the scarred and broken, there is great dignity. Jesus keeps God's preference for the little people at the heart of his teaching. He expresses the kind of love that sees beyond appearance, the kind of love that pierces disguises. It's the kind of love that calls people out of their imprisonment, the love that dignifies people and asks that our love be the same. Lord, help us to remember that we are all lost and lonely. We have been invited into the kingdom, not because we are worthy, but because God loves us and wants us to be there. Ought that not cause us to reach out and bring those around us with us, that we would see those in need and offer help? Lord, guide us to the table of your banquet.